following this principle. And it's a principle that is exclusively designed for the satisfaction of Lord Vishnu. So when it's done not necessarily as a service to Lord Vishnu, you know, sometimes we see that there is other manifestations. When you travel to India, you go to, there is so many different sects of religion and that worships different demigods, and they are led by brahmanas. They're brahmanas. There's different sadhus and brahmanas that they follow impersonalism. So these are not appropriate application of Brahminical culture. Brahminical culture is exclusively for the purpose of worshipping and satisfying Vishnu. Vishnu is the enjoyer of all sacrifices. One of the names of Lord Vishnu is Yajna Purush. So the enjoyer of all sacrifices. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells us that sacrifices must be done, and they must be done for the pleasure of Lord Vishnu. The process of yajna is the essence of Brahminical culture. And the process of yajna is exclusively done for the pleasure of Lord Vishnu. And by the process of yajna, one can actually be, one can achieve happiness in this world. So Krishna gave the system of yajna for human society. He gave the system of yajna for human society. And it's important that we, that there is no other alternative for human society to be happy and peaceful without following the process of yajna. To properly learn the process of yajna, it is the Bhagavad Gita goes through all of this. Krishna explaining to Arjuna, which is very fascinating how it develops, and how Krishna makes a point that there is an element that is very important for understanding and following the principles of yajna in human society. Krishna explains to Arjuna the process of Nishkam Karma Yoga or devotional service. Although in the Bhagavad Gita we see that there is Krishna start to sort of evolve this yoga ladder or different levels of application of this yoga principle, but ultimately what Krishna is highlighting and presenting to Arjuna is the highest principle of dharma, which is bhakti. And and throughout it is made clear that the actual process that is that like the umbrella process, the process in which whatever we do is guided and take, and giving shelter is a process of bhakti. So Krishna explains to Arjuna that you have to do your duties. You have to perform your duties. You have to act in the world, but you have to act in the world without attachment to the result. Karma dieva dikaraste ma paleshu kadachanam. He says that in the beginning of the second chapter, in the middle of the second chapter, when he starts to explain to Arjuna, I'm going to give you a process. He says, listen carefully. Now I'm going to give you a process by which, if you learn it, you can actually be free from the reactions of karma and obtain perfection, basically. So you can still act in the world, but you will act without reactions. Krishna wanted to explain this system to Arjuna. Remember, Arjuna wanted to give up the world, and Krishna's now given a process that you don't have to give up the world. You can still do your duties, but here is a process that if you learn it, you'll be free of the reactions and you can actually progress to the ultimate goal of life. So Arjuna asks the question at the end, at the beginning of the third chapter. He didn't understand the presentation that Krishna was giving. Either you dedicate yourself to spirituality or you do your work in the world. But how these two mix, I don't know. I don't understand. So Krishna explains that the key element is that you perform your work, but your work have to be given or offered as a sacrifice to Lord Vishnu. So this process of jagya becomes a very important element to understand when you go, when you learn this system that Krishna is given. So everything we do, every type of work we do, austerities, everything we do must be offered as a sacrifice, jagya, for the pleasure of Lord Vishnu. That is the system, that is the key. And Krishna explains, he gave this system in the beginning of creation. This is the system that is there. And we have to, you know, to live in harmony with his creation. There's no alternative. This is what we have to do. So the Sri Upanishad explains it. No alternative. The Sri Upanishad calls this system that Krishna gives, the perfect system, as Ishavasya principle, the Ishavasya system, which means that you recognize Krishna as the ultimate proprietor, the proprietor of everything and the enjoyers of all sacrifices. Everything belongs, everything should be given to him. And and one have to accept the quota that Krishna have for each one of us gracefully and gratefully, and not necessarily covet, you know, someone else's quota. It's not that looking, oh, let me see, this person have better quota than me, that type of thing. No. One is, should be satisfied. And then the Isha Upanishad says one can live 100 years, hundreds of years actually, following this system and be happy. There's no alternative for happiness in this world but to follow that system. anything else is wrong. And the result of doing something wrong is suffering. It's no harmony with the environment. So there will always be anxiety. There will be what Prabhupada calls the struggle for existence. Prabhupada said that this material world is, for the conditioned soul, is a constant struggle for existence. Struggles means that you're fighting. Harmony means that everything is peaceful, everything is harmonious. So when we don't do the right thing, then there is no harmony. There is a struggle. And that's the situation of human society. So it is important to maintain and to implement this perfect system. This is what Krishna teaches in the Bhagavad Gita. That's what Vedic system is. That's what Vanashram system is. That's what Sanatan Dharma is. It's Krishna's perfect system of social arrangement. Prabhupada, Sureshwar Prabhu, in his presentation was highlighting how Prabhupada is part of his mission to establish Vanashram in the world. And the head of the Vanashram system is the Brahminical culture. Actually, the education that we receive is Brahminical. Because all parts of society have to be follow these principles of Jagya. They all have different parts. So Prabhupada also highlights a point that this perfect system that Krishna gives is also describes a Daivi Vanashram, is divine, is ruled by transcendental knowledge. And that's one thing that Krishna, after he tells Arjuna that you must learn and understand the process of Jagya, or sacrifice for the pleasure of Vishnu. But to be able to do that, you need to have transcendental knowledge. You need to have transcendental knowledge. So the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita comes, transcendental knowledge. Krishna explains, what is transcendental knowledge and how can you receive it? So he explained that transcendental knowledge is, in a nutshell, understanding the divine nature of Krishna's activities and appearance in this world. To understand who is Krishna, and to understand who we are, and to understand what is our relationship with Krishna, to understand what is this world and what is our relationship with this world and what is the world relationship with Krishna. This is transcendental knowledge. So Krishna explains that to obtain transcendental knowledge, you have to understand that transcendental knowledge comes in the cyclic succession. Evam parampara pratam iman raja shajo vidhu. So it has to be connected to the cyclic succession, coming from Krishna himself. And to receive it, one have to approach a spiritual master. One have to learn that from a devotee. Tad vidhi panipratena, famous verses in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna explains with this transcendental knowledge, one can actually cut the ignorance of material existence. So one have to receive education regardless of one type of material nature you have. Be some of us may have the tendency to be Kshatriyas, some of us may have the tendencies to be Brahmanas, some of us may have the tendency to be Sudras or Vaishyas. You still receive the transcendental education. That is called Daivi Vanashram. We're trained because the perfect system of Sanatana Dharma have these two elements to it, varna and ashram. So there's four varnas, there's four ashram. They actually deal with both the material and the spiritual. So it's a perfect balance of matter and spirit, which is part of Krishna's perfect system. In the Sri Shupanishad, we hear from the Sri Shupanishad this perfect balance between vidya and avidya. The mantra 11. There's a perfect balance for someone who wants to obtain liberation from this material world. One have to have a simultaneous cultivation of vidya and avidya, matter and spirit. The translation is nations and knowledge, transcendental knowledge. The understanding is that one have to be a balanced understanding of your material nature, your varna, and your spiritual development or education, your ashram. Transcendental knowledge. So there is this perfect balance. Perfect balance. If you neglect one of them, you cannot advance. For us, regular conditioned souls in this material world, we need to follow this perfect system. Arjuna was an example. He wanted to give up the material part while still invested in the material world. And Krishna said, that's not for you. Why is not for you? Because you still have attachments and desires in this material world. Renunciation is right, but you have to be ready for renunciation of the material world. You have to be free from attachments and desires, completely free. Then you can renounce. But if you still invested, this is the path. And that's most conditioned souls in this material world. So the system for most of us who still invested in the material world is this system of perfectly balancing matter and spirit. And thus, vanashram. So you have varna and ashram. Or you also have this term karma and yoga. It's a perfect balance of matter and spirit. The Chinese call it the yin and the yang. So we have to receive both education. The spiritual education is a Brahminical education. The ashram is a Brahminical education. So as a brahmachari, one receives education in Brahminical culture. You may be this or you know that, Sudra, Vaishya, Kshatriya or Brahmana, but you still receive this education. This is in the Daivi Vanashram. Brahminical culture means that we learn the scriptures, we become comfortable with the moral goodness, a lifestyle of moral goodness. We learn to worship the deities. So, by learning this, once you have a, you know, you're comfortable with the understanding of Brahminical culture, then you can move to the Grihastha ashram. Grihastha ashram means you have to establish Brahminical, this Brahminical culture in your home life, in your family life. Your family life, the same principles that applies in the temple, we do it in our home. And basically, Krishna is the center of our home, and the worship of Krishna and the sacrifice for the pleasure of Krishna is happening at home. So then it's an ashram. Then it's Grihastha ashram. Without proper understanding of Brahminical culture, you can establish an ashram at home. Sometimes we have of devotees, members of our communities, that haven't received this Brahminical culture, and they have at home an improper mix of things. You know, there's no proper worship or trained worship, and then there's other elements that, you know, disturb the atmosphere of moral goodness. Video games and TVs and all kinds of things, you know. So the children, when they grow in something that you cannot necessarily call an ashram. You can't call an ashram that. An ashram is a place of a devotional life, Brahminical life, where this cultivation of these things are, you know, happening. The worship of the Lord is happening as a central thing. So, that is a central element. We have to have this education. It's compulsory. We don't receive this education, this Brahminical education, anywhere but in the temple. Well, in the we're doing that in the Bhakti Brikshas too. So within the system of the temples and the outreach of the temple, then you receive this Brahminical education. But each one of us is part of understanding this is how the system works. We have to pay attention to our transcendental education, being educated in transcendental knowledge, being educated in this Brahminical culture, especially for Western people, it becomes, you know, a double work, because Brahminical culture is very foreign to us. very, very foreign. For Indians, it's more a part of their culture. They see it, at least if they don't follow it, you know, there's good examples there, and they, you know, they're accepted and glorified, the historical and that type of thing, you know. But for us, our history, our tradition, and our culture is more of ignorance and passion. There's basically hardly no goodness. And the few goodness that has been there, they have been killed or persecuted, you know, historically. You know, every time there's some beacon of sort of goodness, they just, you know, assassinate or persecute, you know. So for us, it becomes even more challenging, but it has to be done. You know, we have to endeavor to receive and to absorb this culture. So the when this culture is established, when this culture is followed, then it is explained that Lord Vishnu is present, fully present there. And that's what the associates of Kamsa understood, and therefore their recommendation to Kamsa was destroy Brahminical culture. Kill the cows, kill the Brahmanas, you know, stop sacrifices like that, and then you get rid of Vishnu. And that's, you know, more or less the Western culture that we have. You know, Brahmanas are looked as a nuisance, you know, some sort of parasite type of entities that are trying to get some sustenance and money without properly work by begging, and cows are killed and sacrifices also seem no entertaining or whatever. I mean, you think about it, you know, like something like Ratra Yatra, which, I mean, such a beautiful, amazing festival. Who in their city wouldn't like to have a Ratra Yatra, you know? Just especially nowadays that people try to, government try to show that they're a little bit, you know, open to cultures. I mean, it's an ultimate cultural event. Colorful, beautiful, you know, full of, you know, like so many, you know, like fascinating things. It, from the material perspective, what to speak, you know, from the spiritual perspective. But even if you don't believe in the spiritual perspective, from the material perspective, it's amazing. Who wouldn't like to have that? And make it, you know, one of the features of your, you know, year in the cities. But, you know, they fight very hard to not give us, you know, the proper streets, you know. So, no, not this one, not that one, let me, you know, we do this little one, you know, and then, you know, like that. So this is a demonic civilization. People, Prabhupada explains, he quote Prahlad Maharaj, Nate vidu swartha gatim hi Vishnum. They don't know that the real interest is the worship of Lord Vishnu. They don't know that the real interest is to follow Lord Vishnu's process, his process of jagya, sacrifice for his pleasure. That the only alternative that is there, that it can guarantee our happiness and our swartha gatim, you know, our self-interest, is Krishna consciousness, is bhakti, is Krishna's process, param dharma. So that is the work that we have. One of the things that Suresha Prabhu is bringing in his presentation of Srila Prabhupada as our founder Acharya is that we have to find our mission within Prabhupada's mission. And Prabhupada's mission is to establish this param dharma all over the world, to manifest this 10,000 years of golden age. So we found our mission within his mission, and to be able to find some way of cooperating with establishing this process, this perfect process in the world. At least we can start with ourselves by embracing it, learn it very well, and then being able to teach it to whoever we can reach, you know, like that. Anyway, I stop here. Sorry, it was a bit of an impromptu class, actually, an impromptu class. So I tried to put some ideas on the fly. Any comments or questions?
Like you said about harmony, that there should be harmony between the people. So my question was, like, should one focus on, because harmony requires interdependence between people. It means that there is interdependence between people, that one is also dependent on other people, and their misery and happiness is somehow affects us also. So should we focus more on helping others or more on one's own upliftment? Because if we don't focus on others' upliftment, it will ultimately affect us through some chain reaction. So that was my question.
Well, when I spoke of harmony depends on the application of the process of jagya. And that's individually and collectively. So the process of jagya is a process of applying the principles of Krishna consciousness to understand it individually and collectively. When that's done, there's harmony. If it's not properly done, there is a struggle. So in order to one individually to be in harmony, not only with internally but also with others in the creation, you know, with material nature, with other people, we have to perfectly embrace and apply the process that Krishna has given us. So the difficulties is when we don't apply it. We don't, by ignorance or by just condition. material condition. So so what we have to focus is in becoming educated in Krishna's system. Other people may not be educated, but if we are educated, we can create harmony. If we're not educated, then it's a mess. And one can say, okay, devotees, sometimes they have conflicts. That means that we as devotees, the conflicts usually happens amongst beginning devotees, neophyte devotees, because we don't have it fully we're not expert yet in the application. We're learning, but the process is we have to be educated, we have to take this education. Without this education, you know, it's useless. We can try to serve this one or serve that one, and then we just create more mess. So we have to be guided by transcendental knowledge. In our condition, that we're not fully educated, that we're trying to be educated, we need the guidance of someone who is advanced. Thus, we need a spiritual master or a spiritual guide. So with the help of the spiritual master, then we can actually help others. It's not from me helping others, but it's I'm an instrument of my spiritual master who is expert in helping others. And by doing that, I become also purified and I start to understand how to help others. So that's how a principle works in my understanding. Jai Balaji. You have a question, Krishan?
Yes, you have a question. I haven't formulated my question yet, so it might come out really bad. That's why I want her to go first. Thank you for your class. Sorry I was late. We were doing kirtan. I hope Maharaj is not upset. Anyway, I'll apologize to him later. It's more of a comment. Like I said, I'm pretty messed up right now, but this verse in a purport Prabhupada mentions, it says, people want to be happy without God consciousness. And in this verse, the Lord is referred to as Mulam, foundation. And so we hear that the word foundation is used for a building. So people want to be happy without their foundation in life. Just like if you want to build a building, if you don't have a foundation, the building may withstand if it's good weather all the time, but generally speaking, it's not always good weather. So you need a foundation. And we see that these politicians, when they attain a high position, many people send storms their way to remove them from that position, like a beautiful woman, so they can have an affair or bribe them. And then these storms come alive. Why? Because they don't have a foundation. So we see in our devotional life too, we're chanting Hare Krishna every day. And Krishna says, Ma mana bhava ma bhakto ma yachi mam namaskuru. Always think of me because I'm your foundation. But Arjuna also says in chapter 14 in the Gita, Krishna, how does one maintain one's foundation, transcendence? And Krishna says, if your happiness is dependent on honor, dishonor, he says, treat honor and dishonor the same. Good weather, the same. Bad weather, the same. Because good weather comes, bad weather comes, honor comes, dishonor just comes, gold comes, pebbles just come. He says, treat gold and pebbles the same. So if we don't, then when these storms come in life, then if we don't have a proper foundation, then you know, our whole career fall down. Our bhakti. And that's why Krishna in the next verse says, Mamcha Yavya Pichanena Bhati Yogena Sevate Saguna Samatitaita Brahma Buyaya Kapate. Always engage in devotional service. So my question is that anyone could be good when everything is good. So how to maintain one's mode of goodness? Because Vishnu is supposed to represent goodness, Brahma's the creator, Shiva's the destroyer, and Vishnu's the maintainer, who represents goodness. So creating our relationships are easy, destroying our relationships are even easier, but maintaining our relationships. So how do we keep in mind to maintain our good feelings towards devotees when these storms come, when these disagreements come? Because just like Durvasa Muni and Ambarish, Durvasa Muni merely disagreed with Durvasa Muni, and Durvasa Muni exploded. So in our association with devotees' life, we just disagree with each other, and then we're going on to criticizing, slandering each other. So how to maintain one's integrity when these storms of life come? Because we say our foundation is Krishna, but really it's really not. So how to maintain that true foundation? So
sort of similar answer to the question before. In one sense, we have to understand that we're not fully situated in the mode of goodness. You know, we still have mixed, you know, our devotional service is mixed with the mode of nature that we are accustomed, that this body is wired for. So the process of purification, the process of purification that we're undergoing too, is to help us, you know, purify ourselves from the influence of whatever mold and wire. So, but while I'm in the process of purification, I'm affected by those molds, you know? So at times we have these struggles or conflicts. Conflict means, you know, that we don't have it yet. We're not, we haven't passed that, you know, the influence of the modes. So, so then, Jai Sureshwar Prabhu. So, if we have to, if we recognize that, that's what we have, that's for ourselves, who are still sort of trying to go to the next stage of Madhyama Adhikari, who's still affected, or at least the symptoms of being in the Kanishta stage, still there. And we can understand those symptoms by studying them. You know, it is the Madhurya Kandambini, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur give us, you know, a breakdown of all those symptoms. And if I, by studying and by educating, can recognize, yeah, I still have the symptoms, I'm still here, so then I can have a better approach how to deal with my difficulties, my struggles, my conflicts. And in general, the principle is that we guide it. We always guide it. So the guidance of our spiritual master, we're fully depending on that. We're fully depending on how to properly behave, how to properly deal, how to properly control the impulses that comes out of my, you know, material nature. And then be able to better relate, you know, in the community of devotees. So, in short, the first thing is recognizing where we at. And the reason of whatever conflict and whatever struggle I'm going through, where does it come from? What is the root cause? So I see that in myself. And then from that, you know, I can deal much better with it, because then I can start to learn how to counteract it. So it's at the heart of the process of Anartha Nivritti. And when 75% of that, we're able to do 75% taking care of that, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that then we move to the next stage, the Nishta, which is a Madhyama platform. Then the title of that chapter in the Madhurya Kandambini is The Nectar Now Starts. Now we really start to relish Krishna consciousness. Before that, you know, it's like you have to, you know, you relish it, but then, you know, it comes down and it is a miserable thing, and there's this conflict and dealing with this and my anartha and I fell down and this. It's a struggle. But it's a struggle not like the struggle of the materialists that have no connection to Vishnu. Our struggle is a struggle of someone who is healing, you know, becoming healthy. So when you heal with the pain of healing, still is painful, but it's hopeful, because by the day you feel stronger, you're feeling better. So then there's hope. You see that you're getting better, you know. So things, and we can see that if you look back in our life, every time we turn back and see, wow, you find yourself in a situation that you usually used to go bananas, and now you do it, and now you're more sober. You can actually, you don't, you know, get sink into a whole, you know, delusion and anger and all these things, but you can actually manage it, you know. Maybe not fully control it, but now you can manage it much better, and you say, wow, it's getting better. So there's hope. We know that the system works. We know Krishna consciousness works. We know we're getting purified. And you keep going, come deeper. But we're depending. Krishna's principle, Krishna's process is that we under the shelter of his representatives. We learn bhakti from a bhakta. And, you know, he gave us these three principles, pariprasnena sevaya. We inquire submissively and we serve these devotees.
Can I explain one quick experience where I went bananas and I improved my character? I used to explain it many years ago, and Nityananda Prabhu was there when it happened, and we repeat it so many times. So long story short, they were serving. I was done with my prasadam. This was in 2008, 2009. So I was finished with my prasadam. So then I left to leave. Then they brought out cake. So then I sat back down. And so one devotee named Prachak Prabhu, he would serve all the devotees cakes. And then he skipped me the first time. I was like, okay, let it go. So then he started serving everyone seconds. Then I stood up and I yelled, you knew I wanted a piece of cake. And so at that moment, I realized this is the dumbest thing that I would never see Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta exploding over a piece of cake. And so then then I thought of some Gita verses, like how stupid this is, you know, this is not very transcendental. It was funny, actually. So then many years, Prachak Prabhu told me he really literally didn't hear. For 5 years this went on, Prachak said, I really didn't see you. And then after 5 years, I actually really believed him, because nobody will lie that long, because it's not that big of a deal for 5 years. So then I really realized, you know, sometimes Krishna really does test us, you know, with devotees, so we won't make our, you know, complete embarrassment of ourselves, you know, in the material world. And so after 5 years, so then I made a promise to myself, don't explode over the big thing. So I'm still exploding, but at least I could remember. Yeah. Reminisce about it. But anyway, that's one experience I wanted to share.
That's what most of us, it's a work in process, but you know, we have to keep going. Anything else? I think I can take one more. Or we finish now. So, Suresh Prabhu. The Brahminico, the verse was about the Kamsa's associate saying about where Lord Vishnu lies. You know, he's within the Vedic culture, the Brahminical culture. So basically, they're going to make the point that they're going to destroy the culture. They're going to destroy all that. So the class that at least I presented was focuses on the importance for us to receive that Brahminical culture and to embrace it. And it's, you know, Prabhupada's at the heart of Prabhupada's mission to establish Krishna's perfect system of this Sanatan Dharma, you know, in the world, which is the only means to actually be harmonious and happy, is Krishna's perfect system. So, yeah. Wish you were here to give the class. He came. He came, but then went up. Thank you so much. Karantara Shriman Bhagavatam Ki Jai.